Welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program, broadcast on the Community Radio Network. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and once again it's my pleasure to bring you another program in the award-winning series of Listen to Older Voices. In a two-part program running this week and next, I speak with 72-year young Elaine McGavin. Elaine takes us on a journey of recollection starting from an amazingly young age of 18 months. She reminisces over her childhood and school years. As a teenager, she played in the Victorian Junior Squad for netball, a game she continued to play even after having children. A wonderfully warm person with a great sense of humour, Elaine speaks at length of the closeness of her family and the things they did together. Her life is full of great events and some surprises, including having a most famous musical brother who is impossibly Australia's greatest trio of the 60s. To learn who that person is and more about Elaine, stay tuned as I speak with Elaine. Well, first of all, Elaine, thank you very much for agreeing to speak with me.
Pleasure.
And I wonder if I could ask you when you were born and where you were born.
Certainly. I was born in 1935 and I was born in the western district town of Colac.
What's your earliest memory?
Well, I actually have a very good memory, and my very earliest memory, and my mother assures me I would have been probably 18 months to two. I can remember sitting in the back garden and there were cabbage stumps, you know, they've cut the top off the cabbage.
All right, yes.
And I was sitting in amongst them looking through a knot hole in the fence because I could see legs walking past. And it intrigued me. We lived on a corner. I could see these legs walking past. And she said, "You couldn't remember that." I said, "But I do, and I remember going with you to the, we had a woodshed." Mm. We used to get the chips, and I'd go and help her gather the chips, and we used to sing Daisy.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah. So, well, she said, "Good heavens."
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage, I can't afford a carriage, but you'll look sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two.
So they were the two very earliest memories, yes.
Tell us about Mum. What was she like?
She was a lovely young woman and a lovely young mother. Unfortunately, she was a very nervous, highly strung lady. And my father went to the Second World War, and he was in the Australian Naval Band, and he was on the HMAS Australia. And as you know, they were bombed a couple of times. Mm. And the war years really took their toll on my mother.
Yes.
And ultimately, later on in her life, she was dependent on pills, medication, tablets, you know.
Oh, that's sad.
It was very sad, and she had to have shock treatment several times. And my brother and I, to this day, we still say we were probably amongst the two youngest children ever to have to take our mother. We took her to, it was the Alfred Hospital, had a particular ward at that time, and we took her there.
How old would you have been at that time?
Oh, I think I would have been about 16, and he would have been, he's 4 years younger than me.
Mm. That was a big responsibility.
Big.
Yes. Let's go back a few more years then before you get to 16. As a young girl, what was school like for you?
Oh, terrific. Terrific. No, it was fun. I had a very fun young life growing up. Where we did, we left Colac and with our grandparents, and we moved into their, they had a house in North Road in Brighton,
right.
Caulfield Brighton, in that area. So my brother and I grew up there, and we were there until I was 16. That whole of those 16
yes.
years we were there.
Yes.
And it was a wonderful, fun, free life where we went to the local little Lancock Street School, and we had, yeah, it was just great. Close to the beach, went out swimming in the summer. Yes.
And an ideal childhood.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Mm.
Yes.
Did you have any favourite subjects or anything you really enjoyed doing at school?
Oh, I loved art.
Did you?
Mm. Always loved art. Not that I was crash hot, but I still love it.
So, I mean, I was going to ask you as a young girl, what were the things you did outside school? But you've already mentioned you had the beach nearby, so I guess that was your main focus.
Look, I did, and my lifelong friend, Bonnie Hislop, who lives here in Hillsville also, she and I used to ride our bikes, and we would head off and go straight up North Road. In those days, we would go as far up past Oakley, and it was all country.
Of course.
And we'd go mushrooming.
Oh.
You see, just past that, the cemetery on the corner there in Hawthorne Road and North Road, if you know that area at all, that's that big East Brighton Cemetery. Well, just beyond that was all just developing.
And I guess in those days the traffic was very light, so you didn't have worries.
Hardly anything on the road. And of course, during the war, of course, petrol shortages and so forth.
Of course.
So, yeah. And the movies were big. That was big entertainment.
Yes.
Saturday afternoons. Yeah.
Did you go on from primary school into secondary school?
When I left the little Gardenvale school, I went to college in East St Kilda.
Mm. Did you enjoy that as much?
Yes, I did. But first of all, I had to get used to the more strict... It was a far stricter regime than I'd been used to. And I was always a bit of a rebel, and I got into trouble quite regularly.
Did you have any hobbies or any particular sports that you followed?
Yes, I played a lot of netball. I played anything. I loved sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I played in the Victorian junior squad for netball when I was a young teenager.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes. So did that involve sort of travelling around to other clubs, other areas?
It was the year the other states came to us.
Right.
So they all came here, and of course I met a lot of young friends in the different teams, and we stayed friends for a lot of years.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I continued later on after I had children. I played netball and was amongst the ladies who started the Nunawading Married Ladies Netball Association.
Really?
Yeah, which is now very big.
Yes.
But then there was just us, some runners... and 2 shillings a game.
Oh, for the simplicity of the old days.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
A young girl, the war years are on, so things are, you know, not exactly doing it tough, but it's not as easy as life should have been. Did it affect you that much?
Well, yes. Well, the war ended when I was 10.
Okay, so do you have many recollections of those years?
Oh, yes, yes, I do. My grandmother... They're wonderful people, my grandparents. We absolutely adored them. And she was so family oriented, and her 2 sons and her 2 nephews she also brought up.
Goodness.
All went to war. And my father.
Right.
So the whole household was at war, and my grandfather, who had been the blacksmith in Colac, when he was in the munitions factory.
Right.
Out at Maribyrnong. Mm. So, yes, I do. I remember my uncles coming home on leave and, you know, and the sadness of when they had to go back.
Mm.
And also the stress of our mother. Mm. When the naval people all had to leave and go back overseas after being home for just maybe a week. And I can still see my mother holding my father's hand. They had the trains, you know, the trains that would sail off and everyone would wave goodbye, and it was dreadful.
Very sad times, yes.
Oh, very, very sad times.
And I guess
yes.
for all the women, not just your mother, never knowing whether you're going to see your husband again.
Never, no.
That's something most of us just haven't gone through.
No, and I hope they never do.
No.
Ever do.
You mentioned that your grandmother and your grandparents were bringing up other children as well. Was this all in the one house?
Well, no, it was when they were younger, because in Colac, my grandmother took her 2 nephews in and she brought them up after their mother died. It was her sister. Yeah.
And at that stage, your mother and you were with your grandparents?
Oh, no, I wasn't born then because they were the same age as my mother.
Oh, okay.
You know, they were probably about 12 when she took them in.
And you've tuned in to Listen to Older Voices, Turning Back Time.
These days, and it's sometimes dangerous making generalisations, but it seems that these days the family units aren't as tight and certainly aren't as big.
No.
What do you recall about seasons like Christmas?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Of course, we certainly didn't get the toys and things that the children these days get, but we always had we did very well. We were quite spoiled in many ways, and my grandmother she was a terrific cook, and she made the Christmas cake. It was one particular, every year it was the same time, and my brother and I would be allowed to stay up until the cake came out of the oven, and she would just slice a very small piece off the end, and we were allowed to have it.
Oh, that sounds like that was a treat.
It was a treat. It was terrific. And my grandfather always had chooks, so he took the head off a couple of chooks, and we put our pillowcases on the end of our beds, and of course Father Christmas arrived, and that lovely feel, there's something on your feet in the morning when you wake up and you hear the paper crunching.
Yes.
Yeah, it was lovely.
It was. How did you meet your husband?
I've had two. Which one?
Okay, let's not go husband number one, husband number two. What was the name of your first husband?
He was Don.
Don.
Yes.
And how did you meet Don?
Well, we used to go to the local dances. I didn't meet him there, actually, but a little friend and I used to go to the local dances. And I had been going out with one young man, and she said she had invited me down to their weekend house at Summers. And he wanted to come down and see me down there. And I said, yes, but can you bring a friend for my friend Bev? And he did. And as it so happened, they took one look at each other and ended up getting married and eventually, and have been married, I might say, for over 50 years now.
Wow.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. And so anyway, that relationship didn't last with me very long, so I was left loose. So this friend Bev said to her new boyfriend, have you got a friend you can bring along to introduce to me?
Yes.
And he said, oh, yes. So he brought Don. That was how that happened. And you know, we were married for 20 years, yes.
Well, that was a fairly long stint.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes. What was Don's background? What did he do?
He grew up in the same area virtually, and he was an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
Came from a lovely family. Very close-knit family. Again, another close-knit family where his father's mother lived with them. And the sister was close by. Yeah.
What were the sorts of things that you and Don did together? You mentioned dancing, which in those days was a very big thing, wasn't it? Everybody went to dances.
Everybody did. We loved the movies.
Uh-huh.
Loved the movies. We used to go regularly to the movies. Yes, things like that. And out with friends, and spent a lot of time with your friends, because I have the lifelong friends. The friends that I made then, they're still my friends. But we used to have such a thing. I don't know whether they still do or not, but I was probably about 18, 19, and they used to have the Advertising Arts Ball.
Right.
And people involved in any of the advertising industry were, you know, you could buy tickets.
Yes.
And it was a fancy dress ball.
Oh, right.
And we loved that every year. We tried desperately to think of something smarter than the people who won last year, you know.
Of course.
And that was just a great deal of fun. We actually did win it one year. There were about 12 of us. And we dressed up as the Ku Klux Klan.
Right.
And we had one of the lasses was an artist, and she did big fiery cross on the front as we marched. We learned how they did the march and what have you. And she'd written on the fiery cross, America goes for black and white, and on the back there was another fiery cross that said, but we like Cario, the whiskey ad.
What was the style of music in that period of time? Can you recall?
Well, it was the big bands virtually. And I remember Graham Bell and the jazz people used to play a lot.
Right.
My brother's the musician. He didn't know all that, but I.
But it was the big band style that was the music of the day.
Oh yes,
right,
yes,
indeed.
Dance music, yeah.
Yeah.
And the usual ballroom dancing.
Now these days, and in fact for many years now, we've had television as the main focus in the home. Now at that period of time, it would have been the radio.
Oh, the radio always.
Was that a big part of life?
Huge. Huge, yes. After school, we were always playing somewhere. We didn't have time to listen. Sometimes in the winter, we heard some of the programs they had on the ABC and for children. That was very good. But we always listened to the Amateur Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather used to love some serials they had early in the evening. It was Mrs. Hobbs and oh goodness. I can't remember many of the When a Girl Marries, things like that.
Right.
And Sunday night was religiously, you'd listen to the Lux play, the Lux Theatre of the Air.
The Lux Hour or something, wasn't it? That's right.
Yes.
And that was very inclusive, wasn't it? Because, I mean, the families used to sit round together rather than staring at a screen.
No, and
there
was
discussion.
Talked.
Exactly.
And they loved the races. My family loved the races, and Saturday was they either listened to the races or they would go, because if it was at Caulfield, because they could easily get public transport to the Caulfield racetrack, and that was a very big day, and it was fun, because then when they came home, that was like pocket money time for us, so we'd get our pocket money, and my brother and I would rush off and buy our couple of comics and a bar of crumble or something, and then we'd share it and, of course, all the rest. And the adults used to play penny poker. And my grandmother's sister, our Auntie Flo, who was quite a character, would come over, and she'd be playing poker, and she loved politics, and she'd start on the politics, and my grandfather hated disruption. He could not stand disruption. So it was always quite entertaining.
I'm sure it was. Now, you mentioned and shared with us a little bit about Don earlier, but I didn't ask you how old you were when you got married. Were you a young girl, or were you...
Oh, yes, yes. We got engaged when I was 18, and we got married the week after I turned 20.
Oh, right.
And he was 2 years older than me.
Okay. Mm. Did you have any children together?
Four.
Right. Boys and girls?
Two girls and two boys.
Was that a great time for you?
Yes.
What was it like for you? Because this would have been moving into, what, the mid to late 50s now?
Yes, yes, yes.
And life was getting pretty good in Australia then, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, because, you know, when I was working, in my working life, yeah, but there were jobs everywhere. Mm. You could get a job.
That's
if you
right.
didn't like where you were, you changed it.
Yes.
And we were getting quite good salary for the times too.
Yes.
So that was really, really good. Then when we got married, I worked for a couple of years. I had my first daughter when I was 23, nearly 23.
Right.
Mm. So...
And that would have been a very joyous time for you, I'm sure.
Oh.
First child.
Wonderful. I thought I was the cleverest person in the world.
Well, you were at that moment.
At that moment I was. I thought
right.
I produced a miracle.
Where were you living? Were you in your own home, or were you...
No, not then. We were living in a little rented place we had in Sandringham.
Oh, still down by the beach?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Has that continued to play a feature in your life until you moved to Hillsville?
Yes. We lived later... When we moved from there, Don and I bought a place in North Blackburn, and it was just heavens. It was the end of the virtually the train line, yes, so to speak. And it was all just developing, and they had subdivided this little area, and we bought our first house, and I distinctly remember it cost £3,475.
Which sounds so cheap these days.
Yes.
But it wasn't then.
To us, it was like a fortune.
Right. Yes.
So so then it was, of course, you know, paying off things and all the usual bits and pieces.
So once you'd had your first child, did you stop working and become a housewife and primary carer?
Oh, yeah.
Was that something that was easy for you because you...
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. I loved motherhood. I loved that.
Right. So this is taking you into the 60s yet?
Yes. Yes. My youngest was born in 1966.
Oh, right.
Mm.
What do you recall those years like, the 60s? What did it mean to you? Because it seems to be a period where everybody has an opinion or has thoughts on it. Did it mean anything to you?
Actually, it was an exciting time for me in a lot of ways. I think that on a personal sort of level, I'd made such a lot of good friends in that netball association that we always had some social function going, and all of the friends that I had grown up with were living close, really close by.
Yes.
So our children all grew up together, and we used to have we'd have a barbecue at each other's houses every Sunday, and that was good. That was fun. And of course, it was safe. It was a dead end street we lived in, and the kids just went out and played. You know,
because this has been a feature of your life since a little girl right up to this period, isn't it? That things were safe.
Oh, yes.
You could leave your door open.
Yes. Well, I can remember just before we moved into our house, Don and I were staying with his mum and dad in Caulfield, and we slept on a mattress under the apricot tree because it was too hot.
Mm.
You know, it was, yeah.
Yes. We've lost that innocence, haven't we?
Yes. Sadly, yes.
Listen to Older Voices, where stories from the past find a home in the present.
A little earlier when we were talking about music, you mentioned your brother. Now, I get the feeling your brother was very important to you. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
And I had the most wonderful brother who has just been a tower of strength and helped me at every turn.
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that that's partly due to the fact that you were fortunate enough to be born in an era where families really mattered.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that's something that's just sort of inculcated into your whole being.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
This family thing,
yes.
And your brother and your closeness.
Oh, yeah. We grew up as close. Well, we fought as brother
and
sister.
Of course
we did. But now there'd be no way.
Mm, you are a very rich person.
Yeah, I feel so.
Mm.
And do you know who my brother is?
No.
Athelgar of the Seekers.
Okay.
Someday, if you will hold my hand, I still.
Tune in next week as Elaine continues her story of having Athol Guy as a brother and how she met many famous personalities, with her story including some humorous stories that also include Bert Newton. More stories, more humour. Next week with Elaine McGavin on Listen to Older Voices. Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.